Good evening and welcome. So good to be with you. I'm so glad to see each one of you. Good to have Grandma and Grandpa back with us. We missed you while you're away. So good to see each one. Hope you're ready for our Bible study tonight. We continue our overview of the Bible, looking at each book. We're ready for Judges and Ruth tonight. Judges and Ruth. It brings us to the seventh period of history, known as the period of Judges. This period runs from the death of Joshua to King Saul. You can read about this period in the book of Judges, Ruth, and 1 Samuel 1 through 7. Chronologically, Judges begins with a history after the death of Joshua, and it ends with the death of Samson. And then the events in chapter 17 to 21 in the book of Judges, as well as the book of Ruth, occurred before most of the events recorded previously in the book. It really gives insight as to the conditions during the time of the Judges with Israel. The name of the book, Judges, of course, comes from the leaders the Lord raised up to deliver the children of Israel. Like in Judges chapter 2 and verse 16, the Lord raised up judges, which delivered them out of the hand of those that spoiled them. Judges. A keynote is government. We don't know who the author is. Speculation has occurred over that, but when it comes down to it, we don't know the author. He's unknown. Is the book of Judges tell of a happy, joyful, bright period of time in the history of Israel? Absolutely not, does it? Quite the contrary. It's a dark, very dark period in the history of Israel. And it's a period that really never should have occurred and wouldn't have occurred if they would have obeyed God and done His will. But it's summarized well in Judges 17:6 and 21:25. There's no king in Israel this time, but the people did that which was what? Right in his own eyes. Israel did not obey. Chapter 2, verse 2 of Judges. Did not obey God. There arose a new generation which, what? Knew not the Lord. Israel forsook the Lord. And as we'll read, oftentimes repeated, Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and Israel cried unto the Lord. It occurs multiple times in the book. The book is summarized in chapter 2:6 through chapter 3, verse 6, and tells of repeated cycles of history that occur in Israel. What is that cycle?
People would sin.
Servitude. Good. It does, doesn't it? Multiple times. And Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord, as we'll read. Yeah, they would do evil in the sight of the Lord, forsake God, and God would forsake them. God would deliver them to the hands of spoilers, allow the nations to enslave them. They'd be greatly distressed, cry unto the Lord, and He'd send a deliverer. They'd have peace till the deliverer or judge died, and then they'd sin again, and it'd repeat itself. The book of Judges. How many judges were there in total? 13. In the book of Judges, there are 13 judges. Are there more than that? All it? Good. Yes, Eli was a judge. Is there another one? Samuel. There are 15 in total. What are their names? First one? John? Othniel? Ehud? Shamgar? Deborah? Gideon? Abimelech? Tola? Jair? Jephthah? Ibzan? Elon? Abdon? Then Samson? Eli and Samuel, 15 judges in total, and they were deliverers. Judges 2, verse 16, raised up judges which delivered them. See that in chapter 3, verse 9. The children of Israel cried to the Lord, Lord, raise up a deliverer to the children of Israel. They were deliverers. The book of Judges, outline of the book, we have the events and conquests after Joshua's death, 1:1 through 2:5. Then we have the history of the judges, chapter 2, verse 6 through chapter 16. Those cycles of history in the time of the judges, 2:6 through 3:6, the seven oppressions and 13 judges. Then you have the events showing the conditions in the time of the judges, 17 to 21 in the book of Ruth, including the idolatry of Micah, migration of the Danites, and crime and civil war involving Benjamin. So we begin, first of all, with the events after Joshua's death. That's how the book begins, after the death of Joshua. And they asked the Lord, who shall go up for us and fight against the Canaanites? Now that Joshua's dead, who's going to fight for us? Who was that? Who was chosen? Judah, good. And who went with him? Simeon. And Judah went up, and the Lord delivered the Canaanites and the Perizzites into their hand. And they slew them in Bezek 10,000 men, in verse 4. And there was a person who fled in verse 6, Adonai Bezek. They pursued after him and caught him. What did they do with him? Cut off his thumbs and his great toes. This person had a reputation. He had cut off the thumbs and great toes of 70 kings. And they'd sit and gather meat at his table, under his table. And he said, as I have done, so hath God, so God hath requited me. They brought him to Jerusalem, and there he died. So the children of Judah fought against Jerusalem, verse 8. You read of Caleb and Othniel and Caleb's daughter. And in verse 20, what happened? They gave Hebron unto Caleb, as Moses said, and he expelled them, the three sons of Anak. If you remember Joshua 14, and in verse 14, Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the name of Hebron before was Kirjatharba, which Arba was a great man among the Anakims, and the land had rest from war. And we see in Judges 1:20, Hebron given unto Caleb, as Moses said. Then in verse 21 really summarizes the rest of this history. The children of Benjamin didn't do what? Did not drive out the Jebusites. Was that a problem? It was, wasn't it? Verse 27, neither did Manasseh drive out the inhabitants. Verse 28, and it came to pass when Israel was strong that they put the Canaanites to tribute and did not utterly drive them out. This is one of the biggest mistakes Israel made. They didn't utterly drive them out. Neither did Ephraim drive out. Verse 30, Zebulun didn't drive out. Neither did Asher drive out. Verse 31, but they dwelt among the Canaanites. Verse 32, summarized in chapter 2, when an angel of the Lord came from Gilgal to Bochim and said, I made you to go up out of Egypt and have brought you into the land which I swore to your fathers. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you. And what was the command? Make no league with the inhabitants of this land, throw down their altars, but ye have not obeyed my voice. Why have ye done this? I also said, I will not drive them out from before you, but they shall be as thorns in your sides, and their God shall be a snare unto you. They disobeyed God. They didn't utterly drive them out. We saw that command given multiple times, like in the book of Numbers and Deuteronomy, and they didn't obey. They didn't utterly drive them out. And that resulted in more sin, their idolatry, their intermarrying with the people of the land, their forsaking God. And really, we make the same mistake today when we compromise and we fail to drive out sin and those who commit sin. Judges 2:6-9 restates Joshua 24:28-31. Remember, when Joshua let the people go, every man went to his inheritance, and the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord. And did it for Israel. And Joshua died, 110 years old. They buried him. And after that, he died, and that generation died. There arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord. Such a sad statement, isn't it? Something that never should have happened. Measures were put in place to prevent that. Remember reading about that in Deuteronomy? What was emphasized? Teach. Teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. Teach diligently. Evidently, they didn't teach like they ought to, because there arose another generation after them which knew not the Lord. We learn there's just one generation. One generation away from one rising up which knows not the Lord. Thus, it's so important that we teach. Teach, teach, teach. Chapter 2, 11 to 19 summarizes the history of the judges, and God proves the people. How does he do that?
The Lord left those nations without driving them out hastily.
Verse 21, good. I will also not henceforth drive out any from before them of the nations which Joshua left when he died, that through them I may prove Israel. Did they pass the test? They didn't, did they? God tested them to see whether or not they would keep the way of the Lord, verse 22. And in verse 5, the children of Israel dwelled among the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, Jebusites, and they took their daughters to be their wives and gave their daughters to their sons and served their gods. Another commandment they transgressed, Deuteronomy 7, 3 through 4. They did not pass the test. Thus, the cycle begins, chapter 3, verse 7. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, forgot the Lord their God, and served Balaam and the groves. It brings us to the judges, verse 7 through 11. Who do we have? Which judge? Othniel. Who was he? Caleb's younger brother. Good. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. He sold them into the hand of who? The king of Mesopotamia. How long did they serve him? 8 years. And they cried to the Lord. The Lord raised up a deliverer, Othniel. And something is said of him in verse 10 that's not said of all the judges. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he judged Israel, went out to war, and the Lord delivered the king into his hand. How long did the land have rest? 40 years, and Othniel the son of Kenaz died. Then, beginning in verse 12, the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. What about this section? The Lord strengthened who? Eglon, the king of Moab, against Israel, because they'd done evil in the sight of the Lord. Notice the phrase, the Lord strengthened Eglon. Notice the Lord's hand in this. We learn something about the Lord and his providence as well. The Lord strengthened Eglon against Israel. One of the ways that the Lord can punish his people, he can use other nations, strengthen other nations against nations. And Eglon possessed what city? In verse 13. The city of palm trees. Remember what city that was? Jerusalem? Jericho. Deuteronomy 34, verse 3. So the children of Israel served Eglon, the king of Moab, how many years? 18. They cried to the Lord, and who was raised up? Ehud, son of Gera, Benjamite, a man left-handed. And how did he deliver the Moabites? Or Israel from the Moabites? Remember, Israel sent what? A present. Ehud made him a dagger. He brought the present to Eglon, king of Moab, and he was what? How was he described? The very fat man. And he presented the present, said, I have a secret errand unto thee. And all that stood by him were sent out. And he said, I have a message from God unto thee. What was that message? Took the dagger from his right thigh, thrust it into his belly. And he was fallen down dead on the earth. Verse 25, he had escaped. The Lord hath delivered your enemies and the Moabites into your hand. Verse 28. And in verse 29, there escaped not a man. So the land had rest how many years? 80 years. Then we have who mentioned? Shamgar, verse 31, son of Anath. How many men did he slay? 600 with an ox goad. He also delivered Israel. Children of Israel did again evil in the sight of the Lord when Ehud was dead. And who was they sold to? Who? Jabin, king of Canaan. Deborah is the judge. Who helped her? Barak did. And you have the battle. The Lord discomfited Sisera. In verse 15, there was not a man left. Verse 16, but Sisera fled to who? To Jael. What'd she do? Took a nail of the tent, took a hammer in her hand, did what with it? Through his temples. So God subdued on that day Jabin, the king of Canaan, before the children of Israel. Verse 23. You can read about that in Psalm 83, verses 9 and 10. Then you have the song of Deborah and Barak. Song of praise, verse 2 and 3. You notice verse 2, when the people willingly offer themselves. Rehearses some of the events that just happened. In verse 31, so let all thine enemies perish, O Lord, but let them that love him be as the sun when he goeth forth in his might. And the land had rest 40 years. And then chapter 6, the Lord delivered Israel into the hand of who? Midian. How many years? 7 years. Who's in this section? Gideon. Who wants to tell us about Gideon? What's something you can tell me about Gideon?
When the Lord needs somebody to work, he finds somebody who's busy.
He was busy, wasn't he? What was he doing? Threshing wheat. What happened when he was threshing wheat? There came an angel of the Lord, right? Said, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might. Thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. What was the sign he requested? Show me a sign, verse 17. He brought an offering, didn't he? What happened to that offering? It was consumed. Verse 21, the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight, and he was told to do something. What was that? The Lord said to him, take thy father's young bullock, throw down the altar of Baal. Did he do that? He did. He took 10 men of his own servants, did as the Lord said to him, verse 27. Good statement. Did as the Lord had said unto him. He did it by night out of fear for his father's household and the men of the city. And his name is changed in verse 32, where he was called a second name in verse 32. And verse 34, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. And tell us about the fleece of wool, verse 37. Right? God, if thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said, verse 36, he would put a fleece of wool on the floor, if dew be on the fleece only, and be dry upon all the earth beside. Did that happen? It did. Then a second time, he reversed it, didn't he? Did that happen? It did. God did so that night, verse 40. And then the people were too many for the Lord to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, my own hand has saved me. How did he dwindle the people? First of all, whoever was fearful was afraid. How many left? 22,000. 10,000 remained. People were yet too many. They separated the two groups. How? By drinking water. The one side which lapped like a dog, the other side which bowed down on his knees to drink. How many were left of them that lapped like a dog? 300. 300 men. And the Lord said to Gideon, by the 300 men that lapped will I save you. What a great story. And we learn in verse 12 that the people were grasshoppers for multitude. And in verse 15, Gideon said, arise, for the Lord hath delivered into your hand the host of Midian. And their weapons, verse 16, a trumpet, empty pitcher, and a lamp within the pitcher. Can you imagine being in a group of 300 men, three groups, 100 men each? You're given a trumpet, a pitcher, a lamp, going to battle grasshoppers for multitude. Verse 17, good statement of a good leader. Look on me and do likewise. As I do, so shall ye do. Gideon was a good leader. Verse 21, they stood every man in his place. I highlight that. It's a good statement. Each one of us have a place. We need to stand in it. And you have the battle. The Lord said every man sword against his fellow. Verse 22. Verse 10 of chapter 8 says, for there fell 120,000 men that drew sword. And after all this had taken place, the men of Israel said to Gideon, rule thou over us. What was his answer in verse 23? I will not rule over thee, neither shall my son rule over you. The Lord shall rule over you. And then the country was in quietness 40 years in the days of Gideon. He died in a good old age. What happened after he died? As soon as he was dead, Israel turned again, went a whoring after Balaam, made Baal beareth their God. The children of Israel remembered not the Lord their God who had delivered them out of the hands of all their enemies on every side. Neither showed they kindness to the house of Zerubbabel, namely Gideon, according to all the goodness which he showed unto Israel. Sad statement. Then in chapter 9, we have Abimelech and Gideon had how many sons? 70 70 was his body begotten, and Abimelech was born of him through his concubine that was in Shechem, and he was chosen to be the judge, their leader. And what did he do? He slew his brethren, the sons of Gideon, being 70 persons upon one stone in verse 5. Shows how bad it gets when you do that which is right in your own eyes. That's why it sums up the book of Judges, dark history. And we learn finally in verse 56 that God rendered the wickedness of Abimelech, which he did unto his father in slaying his 70 brethren. And all the evil of the men of Shechem did God render upon their heads, and upon them came the curse of Jotham, the son of Gideon. He died how? A certain woman cast what? A piece of millstone, and it broke his skull. In chapter 10, after Abimelech, by the way, reigned 3 years over Israel, verse 22. But after him, we have who? Tola. How long did he judge? 23 years. We have Jair, Gileadite. He judged 22 years. He had 30 sons that rode on 30 ass colts. And they had 30 cities, which is called Havoth-Jair unto this day. And Jair died and was buried. The children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. Who do we have next? Jephthah. Who's the oppressor? Philistines, the Ammonites. Verse 7, he sold them into the hands of the Philistines and into the hand of the children of Ammon. Jephthah takes on the Ammonites. Jephthah the Gileadite, mighty man of valor. And he made a vow, didn't he? You remember his vow? You learn to be careful what you say, careful the vows you make. If the Lord would deliver the people into his hand and return them safely, he vowed to do what? What came out to meet him? His daughter. His only daughter. Can you imagine? Did he follow through with his vow? He did with her according to his vow, which he had vowed. Jephthah judged how many years? 6 years. After him, Ibzan of Bethlehem judged Israel. He had 30 sons and 30 daughters, and he judged Israel 7 years. Then he died. After him, Elon, he judged Israel. How many years? 10. And he died. After him, Abdon, judged 8 years. Then in chapters 13 to 16, who do we have? Samson. What's something that stands out to you about Samson? He was a Nazarite. In chapter 13, we have the story of his parents, Manoah and his wife. And chapter 14, Samson says, "Get her for me to wife, daughter of the Philistines," in verse 2. And at that time, the Philistines had dominion over Israel, verse 4. The Philistines are the oppressors. He rent a young lion in chapter 14, like he would have a kid. And he put forth a riddle, didn't he? What was that riddle? Out of the eater came forth meat, out of the strong came forth sweetness. And they said to Samson's wife, "Entice thy husband, that he may declare unto us the riddle, lest we burn thee and thy father's house with fire." And she did that. We read in verse 17 that he told her because she lay sore upon him. Between her and Delilah, we learn, be careful who we choose to be with. Be careful who we choose to love. More about that in a minute. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon him in verse 19, slew 30 men, took what they had, gave to those which he expounded the riddle. Samson's wife was given to his companion in the meantime, and he took 300 foxes, took firebrands, turned tail to tail, put firebrand in the midst between two tails, and burned up the shocks, and also the standing corn with the vineyards and olives of the Philistines. They learned Samson had done that. They burned who? Her and her father with fire, verse 6. But he smote them hip and thigh with a great slaughter. And then the men of Judah came up to him, bound him, delivered them to the Philistines. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon him mightily. And what'd he do? Found a new jawbone of an ass, put forth his hand and slew how many men with it? 1,000 men. And he judged Israel in the days of the Philistines 20 years. Chapter 16, Delilah sold Samson to the Philistines for silver by enticing him, trying to find out where his strength was, that he could be bound. And finally, in verse 16, she pressed him daily with her words and urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death. We don't want to be with a Delilah, do we? And he was taken. They put out his eyes, but his hair began to grow again. And called unto the Lord, "Remember me, I pray thee. Strengthen me, I pray this only this once." And what did he do? Slew more in his death than they which were slain in his life. And he judged Israel 20 years. Good. Chapter 17 to 21, showing the conditions of the time of the judges. Verse 6 of 17, every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Certainly shows how bad it gets when we do that. And in chapter 17, you have Micah's idolatry. And following that, you have the Danites seeking an inheritance to dwell in. A certain Levite and his concubine. The immorality of Gibeah. And as a result, there was war with Benjamin. Anything on Judges? Don't do that which is right in your own eyes. Don't compromise. Obey God. You learn from this book that God's dealings with us depends upon our dealings with God, our actions. If we do what is right in our own eyes, if we forsake the Lord, if we do what we think we should do and sin, God will forsake us. God will punish us. God will not be with us. God will deliver us into the hand of our oppressors, enemies. The way of transgressors is hard. Ultimately, when we do that, our sin separates us from God. We're separated from God. And if we die in that state, we're going to be separated eternally from God in hell. But if we cry to God, seek the Lord, repent of our sin, obey God, He will once again be with us. He will deliver us. You see, God's great mercy and God's great long-suffering, especially with the people of Israel. How many times did they do evil in the sight of the Lord? Yet when they cried unto Him, He raised up a judge to deliver them. So long as they forsook him, God was not with them. And if we forsake God, he will not be with us. The book of Judges. Next, we have the book of Ruth, a welcome contrast from the book of Judges. It's a story of a family that took place within the period of the Judges, one of the most beautiful love stories ever written. Gives a lovely story of one family in the time of the Judges. The love and goodness described in Ruth make a welcome contrast to the ugliness of much of the Judges and gives a wonderful picture of family affection and devotion. We have contrasted from loyalty in contrast to unfaithfulness. We have purity in contrast to immorality. It portrays harvest fields instead of battlefields. And the keynote is redemption. The author is unknown. Remember Ruth 1, 16 to 17, one of the main passages of the book, one of the most quoted passages of the book, one of great devotion, of great love. These events occurred when? Ruth 1, verse 1. In the days when the judges ruled. It's named after its principal character, Ruth. And of course, other main characters are Naomi and Boaz. The main purpose of the book is to give the lineage of Christ to the ancestry of David. See that in chapter 4, 18 to 22. Ruth was a Moabitess, and the Moabites were descendants of Lot. Learn that in Genesis 19, 30 to 37. In the book, we have the sojourn of Moab, verses 1 to 5 of chapter 1. The return of Naomi and Ruth to the land of Israel, 6 to 22 of chapter 1. Ruth gleans in the fields, chapter 2. Ruth, Boaz, their marriage, 3 and 4. And the genealogy of David, the final of the book. We begin with the sojourn in Moab. Who came into the country of Moab? A man whose name was Elimelech, his wife Naomi, and their two sons. They came into the country of Moab and continued there. Why'd they do that? There was famine in the land. They're searching for food. And in Moab, something happened. Several things. Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. She was left and her two sons. Her two sons married women of Moab, Orpah and Ruth. How long did they dwell there? About 10 years. And then Mahlon and Chilion, Naomi's two sons, died, both of them. And the woman Naomi was left of her two sons and her husband. And so she arose to return back to Israel, to Bethlehem, Judah. For she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. What did Naomi say to her daughters-in-law? Urged them to return to their mother's house, to return to their people and to their gods. Verse 8 and verse 15. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth did what? Ruth clave unto her. We begin to learn about Ruth and her great love and devotion for her mother-in-law. And verses 16 to 17, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee, for whither thou goest, I will go. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, will I die. There will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part me, thee and me. She was steadfastly minded to go with her. Verse 18. Great devotion. We begin already to see great loyalty, devotion, love, faith. We see Naomi's for her daughters-in-law, thoughtfulness in asking them to return, and says, the Lord deal kindly with you as you dealt with the dead and with me. Grant you rest, in verse 9. She kissed them, and she was grieved much for their sakes, verse 13. And Ruth clave unto her. So they return to Bethlehem, Judah. They said, is this Naomi? She said, call me not Naomi, call me Mara. Naomi means pleasant. Mara means bitterness. She said that, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. So Naomi returned, and Ruth, the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her to the Bethlehem. Chapter 2, what do you learn from chapter 2? We're introduced to who in verse 1? Boaz, the kinsman of her husband's, Elimelech, a mighty man of wealth of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. Ruth, let me go now to the field and glean ears of corn after him, in whose sight I shall find grace. Throughout the book, and in this chapter, we learn a lot about Boaz and Ruth and their character. What do you learn about Boaz? After she had happened to come into whose field? Boaz. Right? Verse 3, and her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz. New King James says she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz. You think the Lord's hand is in this? It's a book you learn about and see God's providence, most certainly. But Boaz, what do you stands out to you about Boaz in this chapter? Anybody? Something stand out to you? John? He was generous, most certainly. What else?
Considerate.
Absolutely. Anything else? Protective. Absolutely. The Lord be with you, he said. Good. Good. Do you see his faith in the Lord? The Lord be with you. Answer him, the Lord bless thee. Verse 12, he said, the Lord recompense thy work, and a forward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. He comforted her, spoke friendly to her, verse 13, helped provide for her. Kindness, in verse 20. His kindness. What about Ruth? You can't, Paulette? Hardworking. I was about to say that. You can't help but be impressed by her work ethic. She was hardworking. You see her care for Naomi as she provides for her. Good. Anything else you'd like to mention? Chapter 2. She gleaned in the field until even, verse 17 says, until even. Beat out that she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. That was close to 21 quarts, or about 5 gallons. And she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of barley harvest and of wheat harvest, and dwell with her mother-in-law. Verse 23. Chapter 3 and 4. Naomi seeks rest for Ruth, and they look to find that in Boaz. What were the instructions given to Ruth? Wash thyself, anoint thee, put raiment upon thee, get thee down to the floor. Make not thyself known unto the man till he have done eating and drinking. And it shall be when he lieth down, thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie, and thou shalt go in and uncover his feet. Lay thee down, and he will tell thee what thou shalt do. And verse 5, what did she do? A response. All that thou sayest unto me, I will do. We learn more about Ruth and her good character. All that thou sayest unto me, I will do. I've got those words highlighted. She went down into the floor, did according to all that her mother-in-law bade her. Boaz, eaten and drunk, his heart was merry, he went and lay down at the end of the heap of the corn, and she came, uncovered his feet, did that which Naomi said, and he said, who art thou? Verse 9. I am Ruth, thine handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman. And what was his response? Verse 11. I will do to thee all that thou requirest. For all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. Performing the part of the near kinsman. There are two principles, two laws taking place within this context. One was the law of redemption, redeeming the inheritance, the redemption of land. You can read that in Leviticus 25, 23 through 34. The other is which law? The Levirate law, the marriage law, Deuteronomy 25. And we see that taking place here. He was going to perform it, but he wasn't able to at first because there was a nearer kinsman, one closer than he was. If he would do it, let him do the kinsman's part. But if he will not do the part of the kinsman to thee, then I will do the part, Boaz said. So in chapter 4, again you see his generosity. He did not send her away empty. the end of chapter 3. But in chapter 4, Boaz comes to the gate and sat him down there. That was the gate of the city where public affairs were carried on. And the nearer kinsman, he says, "Ho, such and one, turn aside, sit down here." And he did so. And what does he tell him? He tells the nearer kinsman that Naomi is doing what? Selling land, which was her brother Elimelech's. And he says to buy it and redeem it in verse 4. And then Boaz said, if he did that, thou must buy it also of Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance. That's the Levirate law. And the kinsman said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar or ruin mine own inheritance. Redeem thou my right to thyself. And again, verse 7, this was the manner in former time in Israel, concerning redeeming and concerning changing, for to confirm all things. The law of redemption, the law of the Levirate law. So kinsman redeemed, purchased all that was Elimelech's and Ruth to be his wife. They have a son. What was his name? Obed. He's the father of Jesse. He's the father of David. Good. And the genealogy is listed at the end of the book. We see God's providence as Ruth becomes one of the four women mentioned by name in the genealogy of the Lord. Anything else on Judges or Ruth? A lot of good lessons to be learned from both books. Deuteronomy, we saw all the commandments given and the warnings given, and Judges. The people did that which is right in their own eyes and disobeyed God. And you see the darkness that occurred. May we not make that same mistake today. And may we learn from the kindness of Boaz and the virtuous woman Ruth and apply them to our lives. Thank you.